recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle, 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Nida brought to you by Benchamot Yerushalayim, Daf Samach Gimel, and we're up to the top of the Daf. Ezeu Rok Tafel. So the Mishnah listed the Shiva Semumanim, and it lists Rok Tafel as we said briefly yesterday, that it's Kol Shelo Ta'am Klum. The Bright expands on that and says Kol Shelo Ta'am Klum Mi Be'erev, that as long as you haven't tasted anything from the night, now, from the evening before. So for Rav Papa Kamei Rav Lameimar, that the meaning, said Rav Papa, he thought, and told Rav, this is what he thinks, that it's like the blood test. Now it's from the beginning of the night before, you haven't had anything to eat until the next morning.
You have to skip dinner?
You have to skip dinner. No time, midi beurta, you didn't eat at night. I'm like, Rav, that's not what it says. It doesn't say koshalota anklum ba'erev. It says lota anklum mi ba'erev, right? So mi katani ba'erev, mi ba'erev katani. All it's saying is that if you have eaten since you went to bed, that's what it means. But as long as lamaisa, from the time that you went to bed, you have not had anything, it's not a problem. So it's only coming la'fuke echa to kadim va'ocha. You woke up early and you ate. That's not rok tafel. But as long as you didn't eat from that time, you went to sleep at night, and that's it. Omer Abba Bar Bachanan Rabbi Yochanan. Ezeu rok tafel, kol she'avar alav chatzot halayla. It means that it's at least from chatzot you were sleeping. Mubashina. So in other words, it has to be you haven't eaten from chatzot and you had to have been asleep at that time. What? Lameimer de b'shina tayam yolo. It's a function of sleeping? Doesn't it say beferish, Vatanya, Yashan kolayom, you could sleep all day long. It's not called rok tafel. Neor kolalado, you're up all night long. You didn't need, it is called rok tafel. No. So you see that it has nothing to do. It says you're up all night. You're claiming you have to be asleep all night. So he explained that what Rabbi Yochanan meant by b'sheina is including what's said in his braita, because when it says he's up, it means b'mit nadne. It means he's semi-up, like people are in the Daf Yomi.
<Not a girl. laughs>
So that's considered to be what was meant by b'sheina. That's what he means, me'or. And what does mitname mean? Echidami mitname? This is one of the things the Gemara repeats again and again and again. Echidami mitname. Ravashi, it means that you're sleeping, but not quite sleeping. Mitname, nim velo nim. You're sleeping, but you're not really asleep. Tir, you're up, but you're not really awake. Velo, you're not aware. Velo tir. What would be the indications? You speak to the guy and he answers you. Korileva ani. Right, Richie has this down to a science. But Veloyada Ladure Svara, I mean he can't answer you intelligently if you're asking him something, but if you remind him of something, Vihimatkar Mitka, you'll say, did you put my glasses in the glove compartment? He'll think. So maybe he can't tell you Lakatila, where'd you put my glasses? I don't know. But if you say was it in the glove compartment, so then he can exactly. Tana, Hishkim, Vishana Pirkei. The guy got up early before davening, so he didn't eat, didn't drink. But he was learning. And he's speaking while he's learning. Vishana, Ein Zer Rok Tafel. Dibur is also Mevatel Rok Tafel. V'yad Kama, how much Dibur? Om Rav Yira Bar Shila, Om Rav Ashi, Om Rav Alazakosh, Yatsa Rov Diburo, Shel Shalosh Sha'ot. What the person would normally speak in 3 hours, Vishana Pirko, and spoke very quickly and so on, then maybe a half an hour. In other words, it's the amount of speech that's talking about, it's not the time. So what he would normally, in the course of a day, the number of words that he would be motzi during the course of 3 hours, that's this year. Mutter made
reason. That's too much. You can't speak that much. That's
right, exactly. Beyond that, it's no longer rov tafel. Make greasy, the Mishnah says, is you chew on greasy shapo, better chalukat nafesh. Now, lechora, this is very different than what we were thinking, because it implies that you had to have spit. It says you were lois, right? Now that seems to imply that the le'isa is part of the megrisim, which is very strange. I mean, so then it's basically say megrisim plus saliva, because it has to be chewed, not just you let it sit in the pot. This seems to be a riot to Reish Lakish. Let me say Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that when it says Rok Tafel, Rok Tafel is not a separate ingredient. Rok Tafel is the solution for what all of these chemicals are in. That's the job. So Rok Tafel, Megrisin, let me explain, Megrisin in Rok Tafel, and so on and so forth. That's what it seems to be saying, because otherwise it's saying two things at once. So it's like, why? Who says that the Le'isa of Grisin is Rok? It's Havla de Pume Male. Maybe it's not because it's mixed with Rok Tafel. It's the middle of the day. The guy just finished brushing his teeth. There's no Rok Tafel. But the point is, why does it have to be ground up? Because the heat and humidity in the mouth makes this thing mix properly and gives it its kayach to be Mevatel the Keter. But one thing I could tell you is that the Mishnah is clearly not like Rabbi Yehuda, because in the Braita it says, in Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, when we say Megrisin, we mean that you boil them up, and it's over shitena tofu melach, before you put in any salt. Now, we didn't say anything about boiling it up, and he doesn't say anything about chewing, but this is a completely different shear. He was talking about letting it sit in the water till it becomes chalukat dafesh, and he's talking about a stew, which we never spoke about. It's a completely different approach. We never spoke about salt. He speaks about salt. You put in salt, you're going to be about to the keach agrisim. By the way, over is a strange way to say before. My mashmalai, over lishin dagdumi. This is also another one of the favorite things in Shas. Shkumar brings all over the place. So how do we know that the word over, because over we always say over la siyatan. So we always bring this Gemara. How do we know the word over means before? He came in first, before the Kushi. Abaya Omar Meyach, who avar lifnehem. So those who avar lifnehem means that he went in, Yaakov Avinu went in front. Which is Vashem Barosham. So it means coming in before. The next thing we add, Meraglayim, which have turned into ammonia. Now, what is that shir? Tana. Kamach imutzan, it means that they've been sitting for 3 days. Rabbi Yochanan, you should know that everything that was explained in this sugya is insufficient. There's not enough information here to know what it is that the Chachamim want. Ko shiurei Chachamim biktamim, tzarich shiur l'shiuran. They never tell you enough. Like you're telling me, urine. What kind of urine? I mean, you're talking about a baby's urine, a child's urine, an old man's urine. I mean, urine has different stages in life, has different ways of being mitchamet. The yelin, the zakein. You're talking about male urine, you're talking about female urine, you're talking about keeping it 3 days covered, you're talking about keeping it 3 days open, mechusim or megulim. You're talking about in the heat, you're talking about the middle of the summer, where it's sitting at 100 degrees, you're talking about the middle of winter where it's almost frozen. What are you talking about? Bimot ha-chama or bimot ha-gishamim. So we literally have insufficient information to be able to intelligently paskin. V'tzorech lechascheis shalosh pamim. You need 3 times to rub in each one of these chemicals. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya, what do you mean, lechascheis? If I go rub, rub, is that once, forward, backwards? That's one rub, or is rub one, rub two? So, I'm asking you whether I'm tuye ve'atuye, forward and back, is that called one, or is that called two? Dilma tuye ve'atuye is tarte. My, take it. That's a serious problem. We'll ask Eliyahu Navim. Then it says, if you run shalokis sidran, if you did it out of order, forget it. It doesn't do anything at all. Now, the question is, we have over here basically two lists in the Mishnah. Because what we have are things that are chemicals. Neter, borid, kamunia, ashlag, all of those things are mamish chemicals. The first things in the Mishnah are really chemicals. They're biological substances. Rok Tafel, Meraglayim, Megrisin. I mean, there's two sets in the Mishnah, really. So, looking at it from the point of view of sets. So let's say we remarked in the second set of things, which are the chemicals, and then we did the first things, the rope, tafel, and the mei grisim, and the mei raglayim. So what would be the din? So one braita says, the second ones count, the first ones don't count. So Tanya called a shniyim alula, rishonim lo alula. The second braita says, no, on the contrary, the rishonim alula, the shniyim lo alula, says Abaya, listen. They're both saying exactly the same thing. The confusion over here is, do you mean the first things, that is, the first things listed in the Mishnah? Or do you mean the first things, meaning the first things that you put on? So both prizes are talking about the same thing. The Shniim Alulo V'lo Rishonim. The second things that you put on, which are the first things in the Mishnah, those count. But what you put on too early, which is Loka Sidron, it doesn't count. When the Braita says, my Rishonim, that the Rishonim don't count, and the Shniim do count, that's talking about the Rishonim of the order of the Kesidron. But it was the second things that you put on, in that case, the Rishonim are the only thing that do count. Because then the Rishonim, which are the second things that you put on, those are the things that you can count, because they were in order. So forget about all the Kamunya, Ashlag, and so on. You didn't do that right. Okay, so forget about that. But then, as the last three things, you put on Rok Tafel, Mei Grisim, and Mei Raglayim, that's the beginning. Those three things are the beginning. The first four things were out of order, they don't count. Both bright that they're saying that. So you just don't get confused. Very straightforward. Now we are about to begin a brand new world, except for the fact that we have this brand new world back at the first page of the Masechta. That's a little bit strange. You're always going to say, whoa, what just happened? So here's the brand new world. You may have heard that before. All of a sudden, we're back to Dayashat. We're saying, if a woman has a Veset Kavua, so then that's enough. What do we mean by a period? And in reading the next line, we become absolutely clear about the difference between this Mishnah and the other Mishnah. Basically, what's been happening until now is we were talking about Vesatot in the question of when she normally would see Da. Veset in the sense of periodicity, time periodicity. But, yeah, cycles, periods. Okay, so we spoke about different types of periods, date of the month, the number of days in between, Veset HaFlaga. But this perek has been concerned with something else, really, if you think about it. Because it started off with the question of a woman who was urinating, finds dominant urine. Now, there's also biological symptoms of Vestot that imply that there's a relationship between certain symptoms in the body and a subsequent period. It has nothing to do with days at all. This is Veset in a new sense. Veset in the sense of expectability. So there may be a woman, let's say, Eloena Vesetot, Mifaheket. Let's say that she has an attack. It's not locus exactly what Mifaheket means. We'll see that there's two Lashonos of Mifaheket to the Gemara. So it may mean stretching. It might mean yawning. Rashi's stretching. Tosfos yawning. We'll see there's a different type of Mifaheket. She has this attack of extreme tiredness.
That's the stretching?
Yeah. She has to stretch her body. And every time that happens, like, geez, all of a sudden she starts being rated down. Mitateshet. Sneezes, has an attack of sneezing, and that's followed by riada. Or Choseshet Bepikresa. Of course, Mitateshet, you can sneeze from two locations. It's a nice way of talking about sneezing. She may be affected by flatulence, and then see da. Choseshet Bepikresa, she's got pains at the top of her belly, near the navel. Or Bishipule Me'a, in her abdomen. Around the uterus, she feels pain. Or shofat. Now, shofat doesn't make any sense, because shofat, we know, always meant she continues to see down. And it's already raining down. What is that? The Veset HaGuf, she's already in the middle of her period. The Gemara is going to say, this makes no sense. Fine. Kamin Simar Morit, O Chazimota. She is attacked by trembling, chills, or dizziness. There's different approaches to what Simar Morit means in the Mishnah. V'chein kayotzei behen and other similar symptoms. Other similar symptoms mean Says the Rambam, we'll see, we're going to talk about it in the Gemara, what Ginkgo Kayotzebe means. So the Rambam says, listen, you can have heart palpitations, nausea, arrhythmia. He goes through like different things as a doctor. Says, these are things that are commonly associated with seeing Dam as a period.
And the woman would see the same thing?
And this happens, we'll see, this happens three times. And with these symptoms, it's always followed by Ri'yas Dam. These things happen three times. That's considered to be a veset, which would mean a number of things. First of all, dayashaita. So if she was an ongat b'taharot, she doesn't have to be chosheshet before. Of course, veset has another very important element, which may be dioraita. Depends how you learn, which is v'izartem et b'nei Yisrael mitumata. That there's a chiyuv to be poreshet samuch l'veset, and therefore she would not be allowed to have relations with her husband, samuch l'vista. All of this we're going to be getting into in this Gemara. Says the Gemara, what just happened? All of a sudden I find myself back at the beginning in Rasechba. That was the first thing that we learned. I thought we were through that whole sugya of Dayashata and El Machlokas with Shama and Hillel and Lokadivrezeh, and which kind of women are considered to be Dayashaita and Arba Nashim Dayashata. All of a sudden I see the whole Masech is out of order. Says the Gemara, listen, all you need to do is keep reading, because that was talking about Ata Bevistot Diyuni. There we were talking about things that have nothing to do with symptoms. They are simply a question of periods. But a period is not necessarily a veset. In other words, in English you wouldn't say period, except as a borrowed term. I got my period, but the meaning of period really is a veset hayomi. A particular amount of days is a period of time. So you borrow the term to say my bleeding, my menstrual, whatever it is called a period, but it isn't really. So we're talking about visatot. These are biological symptoms that you can rely on for bleeding. Here we're talking about visatot de gufa. Just keep reading the Mishnah. You see what we're talking about. Kedik tani. Elein visatot. I tam efayeket ma'ateshet. Chosheshet b'fikresa. Bishupulei vishof shofat. What? Wait a minute. That word doesn't make sense. What do you mean shofat? Shofat means that she's bleeding. If she's already bleeding, that's not a symptom of an oncoming veset. She's already anida. Hashafat v'azah. What do you mean? She's in the middle of her period. How does that have to do with veset? Omar Ulav Reder of Eloi, shofat means staining. Shofat means that she begins seeing dam, real blood, following stains that are not real blood. Mitoch dam tahor. So let's say she stains maybe for 3 days. Different colors that she shows to the rabbi, this is not dam, there's no problem. Before she gets her period, she always stains. So now she knows, my gosh, every time I get this stain, the next day I get my period.
Some other fluid is coming.
Something else is coming, and that is a raya that she is in fact getting her period. Right? So it's interesting, you could become a bookie enough in these kind of periods. I have actually told women you're pregnant before they even knew that they were pregnant, because I know a particular type of stain that does not normally, is not followed by bleeding, but is often a symptom of what happens when it's time for a period, but the woman is pregnant, not going to get her period. So these that were simon normally are normally they would be simon if there's something that stops it. Uchamin shemarmarot v'chein kayotzei b'em. What does v'chein kayotzei b'em mean exactly? And we're going to see that kayotzei b'em has a technical definition of kayotzei b'em, that type of thing, meaning, as we're going to see, that type of thing is a biological symptom, but not a biological cause. So in other words, there are things that may happen that create a re'iyah. We spoke about that before. Things like haita kofetzet. She causes something, and then she's re'iyah. There, back in the beginning of the Masech, we're talking about a chibur between actions that may stimulate a re'iyah. There's also things that she can eat that create really a reaction in her. But then it's totally not in something that comes to her, but something that she does. That's not quite the same thing. But when we are talking about things that are similar, says Rabba Barula, it means even less defined symptoms. So let's say a woman always gets a headache. before her period. Rosha kaved aleha. Or she just feels that she can barely move. She feels very, very tired. Evareha kvedim aleha. Or she's rotetet, she trembles. Or she's gosa. Now, gosa, the problem is that the Targum and also the Rishon talk about gosa means mifaheket. But if it's mifaheket, then that was mifaheket we had in the Mishnah, mifahek. So as we saw, there are different things that are called levels of piyuk. There's yawning, there's stretching, burping. These things are referred to at different times of mifaheket. Sudden reactions of the body that are all called, huh? Can be to yawn. So Tosfos says, mifaheket, that's what I'm at Olive. That means somebody opens up and he puts his mouth under his chin, which is the normal thing you do when you're yawning. It's essentially wanting to cover your mouth, to touch your mouth. Rashi stretches her avar. So in other words, whatever one was chaser, the other one is including over here, the gosa. Let me tell you an amazing Kabbalah that I have, says Shmo. Hare Amru, the Chachonim said, even though, this is how Rashi does this one, Big Bachokas was showing me, even though we have a major Machokas Tanoim about how to define a Chazaka, so we know that there's a Shita that holds three times as a Chazaka, Shita of Rebbe that holds two times as a Chazaka. When it comes to these Vistot, a Chazaka is not as it's normally defined. And actually, it depends on the power of the Veset. Hare Amru. The Chachamim said that if you're talking about being Koveya, a Veset, liyamim, two times a Re'iya on Yamim is Kovat a Veset, like Rebbe. If you're talking about what we're calling Visatot here, which are Visatot Haguf, even one time is enough. And this is, again, the way Rashi does the learning. Both Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel agree that there's a different relationship. Veset is not normal chazaka. Veset is a question of our experience about how these things work. That's all. It's not to be koveya a chazaka la halacha. It's a new thing in which we are mitzaber experience. And we know that once this has happened, that a woman settles into a cycle two times, that's what's going to be her cycle. When we're talking about a symptom that is a strange symptom that ends up with bleeding, then we know it's going to happen again, that when she has that symptom, it's going to happen. It's the same thing somebody has a migraine. He always sees a particular aura. He knows that that's going to be followed by a migraine. An aura, different colors, whatever. And it's different. So it's not that you don't need a chazaka for that. It's associated with the same feeling. It's an expression of a trigger. I mean, you don't know why, so you don't know how it works. And that's the trap. One time is enough. Once a guy had that experience and he sees that aura again, he knows it's over. He said, what about, what do you mean? But Rebbe says, ask me two times. Reb Shimon Galil says, ask me three times. Ah, come on, I'll say. We're talking about a chazaka. I'm talking about what I know. So that's the way Rashi tries to understand this. This is not Nogei the Machlokas Rebbe Reb Shimon Gamliel. But Lamaisa, there are other shitas, the Ran Lamashon, who holds that this was a psak that was against both Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. So in other words, the Chachamim said, we have learned that a chazaka in this case is a chazaka of one time. Rebbe wouldn't have agreed. Reb Shimon Gamliel wouldn't have agreed. Okay, but that's really a minor das between the Rishayim. And Lamasha Lomanu Chachamim, the things that weren't listed in the Mishnah, there you would need three times a chazaka. What are the things not listed? When you're saying Lamasha Lomanu Chachamim, what is that? When Shmuel says, I was makabal that there are things that are not listed, but I don't know what they are. I mean, what are they? Tell me what they are. Omer Yosef, well, those are the things that are things like we said, you know, headaches, Rosh HaKaved Aleha, feeling very tired, Evareha Kvedin Aleha, trembling, yawning. Omer Abaye, well, what do you mean? Ma'ka Mashman, you're telling me these symptoms. But that's what it's referring to. Matnitini. You don't have to tell me, but I don't know what those things are. What do you mean you don't know what those things are? Everybody knows what if the thing Shalom Anu Chachamim is a reference to V'chein Kayotzei Behem, something's very fishy, because the Mishnah spoke about this thing. What are you telling me? Lo manu chachamim, kein manu chachamim. Rabba Barul explained it very clearly. This can't be talking about those things. You don't have to repeat a Mishnah to me and say, oh, those are things that nobody knows about. What do you mean nobody knows about? I'll tell you. I'm talking over here about a different type of vesed. A vesed which is stimulated by something else. Let's say she eats garlic, and every time she eats garlic, she's Royadam. She eats onions, she's Royadam. She's bechaschesed in her mouth, sharp peppers, jalapeno, and she's Royadam. Forget about Royadam, you're faint. Om Rav Yosef, wow, I mean, this whole thing. I don't remember hearing anything like this. This Maimer Shmuel. Lo Shmieli Hashmaita. This tremendous Chiddush. But there's different types. There's two, and there's one, and there's three. Says Abaye, what do you mean you don't remember? You taught it to us for Epic 6. Of course, this was the story of Yosef, who became ill and forgot a lot of his learning, wasn't able to chaz it. Omalei Abaye, Atam Ritan Niyal. Let me remind you. This is how it started. We learned, Aham Ritan Niyal. We learned a Mishnah, I tell him, Muda Liyot Roa Yom Chamisha Asar. Let's say that she used to see every 15th of the month. Now she sees once on the 20th of the month. The next month, both the 15th and the 20th are considered to be Yom HaVeset, and her husband is going to have to be purged. But after three times she sees Liyom Esrim, then we cancel the Yom Chamisha Asar, and now we recovea the Yom Esrim. Because the rule is ein isha kovat la veset ach tikbeena shalosh pami. Okay, now you, we were learning that you said on that mission, you said like this: Amartan Allah, Amr Rabbi Amr Shmuel. That's all very nice, according to Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe, who was quoting the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Bar Gamliel, who was simply relating it to Chazaka and saying it three times to be kovat a veset. Aval Chachamim Omrim, this is how you told us what Shmuel said. Chachamim Omrim, it's not a rule that it's three times. And that if she was Roya in this fashion, that we just expressed in the verse of Tagur, Eina Tzricha Lo Lishnot V'lo Lishaleh, she doesn't have to happen twice. Doesn't have to happen three times. And we said to you, if it doesn't happen twice, obviously it doesn't happen three times. What are you talking about? So what are you telling me? You told us it doesn't have to be repeated. So what are you saying? It doesn't have to be repeated again. And you explained to us that you're saying something very important. That each one of those words means a different case. You don't have to be mishaneh bevisatot. You don't have to be mishalesh beyamim. Meaning, for yamim it's enough shnayim, which is what Shmuel was saying. For visatot, meaning veset aguf, which we're calling your stam, calling shashesh la veset ketzer. What do we mean by a veset? Haita nefahekat and so on. You don't even need to double it. But it depends on the situation. If we're talking about veset hayamim, or are we talking about veset aguf? And then you're left out, and what about these other things? Oh, that's where you need to be mishalesh. So you basically taught it to us in a very sophisticated way by using the word l'shanot and l'shalesh, and you already told us that there's three dargas of how it is that we relate to v'satot. By the way, why are we saying all of this complex things that this is Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe, and he was saying over Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? I mean, this is a well-known sheet of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We brought it 100 times in Shas, what is considered to be a chazaka. Rebbe says 2 times, Shmuel says 3 times. But Shmuel, it's the first time we ever heard such a complicated thing that this was Rebbe Gamliel by Rebbe who said it, like Rebbe Gamliel, because of Kamashman Shmuel. That the point of here is that Rebbe Gamliel by Rebbe was telling it a paskin, not like his father, but like Rebbe Gamliel, that you need 3 times for a chazak. So that's what I'm coming to tell you. That Rebbe Gamliel by Rebbe, Rebbe Gamliel sphere light, and he holds that you need 3 times normally to be a chazak. Now that's the question. How does that relate to this sugya? Is it really because it's like Rebbe Gamliel, it's a din chazaka? Or is this unique to this particular case? The reason he puts it this way is that you should understand that he's trying to tell you in this where you need to be mishalish. Where you need to be mishalish on Hashalosh Shana Chacham, that's a chazaka. Comes to chazaka, I hold you need 3 times like Rishim Gamli.
Zok Tehele
Kavishna. Haitzal Mudan Liyot Ro'a B'Tchilat HaVisatot. So let's say it was while these symptoms were going on, that's when she would start bleeding. So then, and that means from the onset of her symptoms, any tyrus that she touched, because the daya shaita is only up until the point where the symptoms come on. But suppose first she gets the symptom, so she goes through a sneezing attack, and then it's always a question, 5 minutes later, then she starts to bleed. So it's after, but it's achra v'sim, sofa v'satot. So then adarabah, kol atarot shasta v'tocha v'satot is still torot. Because she knows as long as she's sneezing, she's not raya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, look, you know, it isn't really associated, this halacha, only with v'sat aguf. There's the same idea that you have to take into consideration in v'sat hayamim. And there too, there's a difference of tchila, sof. So, in other words, look, I'm telling you that af yamim v'sha'ot, what time in the day when she would normally see? That's also the same idea as this. So let's say, haitalim muda liot ro'a ima neitzacha. She would always see dam at sunrise. So then she's only asura at sunrise. That would mean that if she was no god b'tarot or anything like that, so then daya shaita. So in asura, Elohim aneitzachama. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The din is kol hayom shela. The day is hers. I'm going to see what this means. Kol hayom shela. So now the bright is going to explain Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Tana. Keitzar amar Rabbi Yossi yamim v'shaot v'satot. What exactly did Rabbi Yossi mean when he says that the day and the hour of the day is part of the veset? Let me tell you. Let's say she sees every 20 days. Because she has now a veset haflaga. I tell her, muda liyot ro'a miyom esrim liyom esrim. And it's always at the sixth hour of the day. She's roya. The sixth hour of the day, 20 days later, she's roya. Higia yom esrim v'lo ra'ata. When the 20th day comes, Rabbi Yuna holds the entire period is awesome. So she cannot relate to her husband the entire time from the beginning up until she should have seen the dam. So therefore, Asur l'shamesh kol sheish sha'ot rishonot de Rabbi Yuna. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's the actual moment of Re'iyah, and therefore he's matir ad sheish sha'ot. She's kosheshet during the sixth hour. And then if she was bodek at that time, and there was no Re'iyah during the sixth hour, I mean, she skipped her period. She skipped her period. She now doesn't have to worry about it. So now, what would be the question? If she was not Raya, then we have a machlokes. Asur l'shamish kol hayom kulo. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda holds the entire day becomes asur. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, after sheish shaot bin amin kol hamalos, so now she's muteres. So until sheish shaot, and after sheish shaot, when she was bodeka, it's not a seventh hour, she's muteret. Exactly. Assuming that that was the period.
But hafazaka doesn't change yet?
No. Not yet, until three times. She skips her period three times.
She didn't see even for 6 hours, then you say it's
the next month, the next 20 days later, she'll still have to check.
Yeah. But after these 6 hours, we assume it's not going to come?
Yeah, that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yehuda says there's a din that the entire day, from the morning until the evening, is usher, and the sha'ah is not a vessel. The onah is a vessel. That's called onat ha-vessel. The 12-hour period of the vessel. We'll see whether it's 12 hours. In the Machlokas section, the Bishulchan Aruch brings Poshitas, that when we're talking about Kol Hayom and Kol Halayla, it's a reference to the period of the equinox. So in other words, it's when the days are similar, Yom Valayla, but otherwise, it would be in 12 hours by the clock. There are some who pass like that. Shulchan Aruch is day for that. Now, the question is like this. The Mishnah says, if she was limuda, lirot, at the Netzachama, Rabbi Yehuda says, kol hayom shela. She's got the whole day to sleep with her husband. But there's a bright that says just the opposite. It says, v'tani Rabbi Yehuda me'kol halayla shela. She gets the whole night. Now here's the point. What do we mean with the Netzachama? Do we mean before the sun comes up? Or do we mean right after the sun comes up? That's the difference. And lo kasha, hada regila lirot b'tchilat yimama. If she normally sees after sunrise, as the sun comes up, that's when she's roya. Their time is Rabbi Yehuda, the laila is shela. If she's regila lirot b'sof halaila, and she didn't, the following yom is shela. But the laila, she's asura. So Rabbi Yehuda Shita is the ona of the actual re'iyah. Sometimes that ona is 12 hours before, and sometimes that ona is 12 hours after. But it's always a function of the yom or laila. And indeed, take a look at another contradiction in Braita. There's one Braita that says, Rabbi Yehuda asks her lifnei vista, but he's mater her la'achar vista, if she wasn't roya. And there's another Braita that says, Tanya Idab, Rabbi Yehuda asks her after her veset, and he's mater her before her veset. How could that be? Which one is true? Lo kasha means exactly the same thing. It depends. If she's regila lemichse b'sof halayla, that's as she would see right before sunrise. So then the entire night, which is before the veset, is asura. If she's regila lirot b'tchilat yimama, netzachama, then after the veset, the entire day is asur. So then she's izmatira, ad regila lemichse b'sof halayla, and ad regila lemichse b'tchilat yimama. Basically, the idea over here is we divide the day and night. Well, my Rava, halachic Rabbi Yehuda, that's how we pask it. The onat haveset, as it's called, the onat haveset, and only the onat haveset is asur.
Sunrise, the day of sunrise
is sunset. Sunset. Yeah, neitzacham. Neitzacham at the
shkia. Wouldn't really like this so exact?
Nowadays, it's become very schwach, because the hormonal controls of the chalal have become much looser, much more out of order than it used to be. Nobody's quite sure why. Whether it's because of diet or whether it's other things. Whatever it is, there's a lot of hormones in the meats that the women that are estrogen hormones that mess everything up. You can no longer rely on anything. But this is a relatively recent, I mentioned to you earlier, it's a relatively recent phenomenon we're talking about. Basically a post-war phenomenon. And It started in the late 50s, because this is Ravenkin Svar also, I mentioned to you earlier, that since the time that hormones have broken down, people have been using artificial birth control. That's a shita, so therefore there never was a dosh pei rabin to risk pregnancy without a 2-year period between pregnancies. Because it used to be that nature provided a 2-year gap between pregnancies. And if you take a look, people that were born pre-war, the relationship between them and their siblings is always 2 years. It's never less than 2 years. People that were born maybe 10 years after the war are part of families that can have 20 children all within 10 years. It's crazy families. If they're religious, they didn't use birth control. That was Rabenkin Svara, that normal human beings never risked pregnancies that were so close to each other. And therefore, he held you weren't allowed to not use birth control. Because depending on the sheet, if Shemr B'Semashem is a heter, Shemr B'Semashem is a chiev, but certainly it was not Nogea post-war. It's really a very new thing. What's interesting is that I met people that keep macrobiotic diets. There's whole groups of Jews that one of the Abu Chatzeras has a whole group that believes in macrobiotic diets. It goes back to Daniel. It's not only not meat, certain types of grains, zeronim, like Daniel. It brings the Ebenezer. Ebenezer says, was it the nace that Daniel was healthier? It's a much healthier diet. Of course they looked healthy. All the people were eating this junk, they looked terrible. So what do you mean? They're so well nourished. Tons of ice cream and butter and meat. That's why they look terrible. It's a beautiful Ebenezer. But anyway, what's fascinating is that those people have perfect visatot and never get pregnant today. And never get pregnant. It seems to have before 2 years. They don't need birth control. So it seems really to be related to the types of things that are... I mean, nowadays the water is full of wash-off estrogens and so on from the farms. Anyway, it's tough situation. This is a paid advertisement for me, Aiden. Contact 1-800. Okay, so this is our machlokas. Tainas, Rava, that's how we pask. The onat haveset is a surah. Ask my Rava. Rava is the one who passes that we don't go according to the onat haveset. Umi amar Rava hachi, v'tanya v'hizartem et b'nei Yisrael mitumatam. From here we learn, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, v'hizartem means that there's an iser, azara, to sleep with a woman who is close to her vessel. So mikan azara livnei Yisrael sheiv frishum nishotehem. So muklav istan v'kama. How much is that sheer? Tainas Rava somuch levestan is aina. Now, I mean, that seems to be saying before the time where she would be roya an aina, not the aina when she is roya, but the aina before her vesek. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? My love ona achrita, an additional 12 hours, which means he's not passing like Rabbi Yehuda. He's saying Rabbi Yehuda is not enough because that's the onat haveset itself, and Rava is passing like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Says Gemara, no. Ona over there means the ona of the veset, exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. Nah, come on, how could it be that? So then why would Rava say the same thing twice? Does Rava have to pass on a look to Rabbi Yehuda, and then he has to be the one who says, and what does it mean? Vizarten? It means like Rabbi Yehuda. I know, well, you need to repeat yourself. You said a look to Rabbi Yehuda. So v'tarte l'amali. I'll tell you, because listen, suppose Yashmin and her. Let's say that we would only have had the psak over here. I would have said, you know what he was referring to. He wasn't talking about a husband. What was he talking about? A husband. He's talking about daya shaita. The whole discussion was in terms of daya shaita. Daya shaita is a din in Tyrus. Din in Tyrus. It's nothing to do with the chumrah that the Baruch Hu said, watch out, be careful, stay away from your wife. That's a different halacha. So it could be that when it comes to Tahirus, we're saying that the onat haveset, that is the period where she's allowed to touch or not allowed to touch. It's defined by the onat haveset, not legabe. There's a question in the Peskim. The Rishonim, Adam's to the sugya. Does it mean dayashayit or does it mean the heter of negiyin? In other words, don't be matami, but it could be in a chinam, it's still dayashaita if it's before the vessel. I'll steer it to the Pesach we had earlier. But when it comes to the husband, the Torah says, Vizarta ben Yisrael. So maybe over there, it has to be Yathigom Ramachmer. Avalabala lo, Kamash Malana lo, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, okay, say that. Oh, if I would say that. So look, if I, let's say a pasket over here, Kama. So I would say, oh, exactly like you just said. What does he mean when he says, to be perish, somuch levesta, the ona before? That's what he means. So, kama, ona. Ona meaning the ona before. So, ava means somuch levesta, a different ona, ona achrite, which would be 12 hours before the day, the 12-hour period of the ona. So, that's what she always sees in the day. The night before would be also. That's what I would have thought. If I hadn't said Allah Kribyuda, isn't that what you thought he was saying? When he said Ona, he said, my love, Ona Akhrita, that's what she said. So therefore he needs to say that the Aloha is like Rabbi, that we should understand that the meaning of the word Ona is Ota Ona. That's the point. That 12-hour period. Now everybody knows, yeah, that's how we pass it.
The Ona?
The Ona.
What's the Ona
before? Now, let me finish. So this is the famous Or Zarua, the owner of the Or Zarua, which is a big machlokes haperskim, whether the Pesachei Tshuva says not the paskim like the Or Zarua. Lamaisa, most of the paskim say it's correct to be machmer like the Or Zarua. The Or Zarua says the Ona before, which doesn't tally with the Gemara. This is called the Onat of the Or Zarua. And most people that are Yari Shemayim that are makbid like the Or Zarua, even though it's not paskin like the Or Zarua. The question of Baal Nefesh and so on, most people are knowing like the Or Zarua. But the question is, how can the Or Zarua say against the Sugya? The Sugya is making it very clear that it means Ota Ona. He's coming up to Baal with, where does he get the idea that it's Ona Achrit? There's a lot of discussion about what the Or Zarua is referring to. And it may have a lot to do with what our president said. That the Gemara that talks about Ota Ona is in the context of Rabbi Yossi, where a woman has a very specific time to be right. So what the Or Zarua was saying, according to many, is that where that's not the case, And where the time of the Re'iyah spread out across the whole time, sometimes in the morning, sometimes towards the evening. So then he says, so then that it counts as if she's Roya at the end of the previous Aina. So you have to look at the previous Aina as the Aina. He's not saying always there has to be an Aina Akrita. That's a very reasonable approach to the Orsa Ruah. He's not adding something to the Gemara. He's just saying, obviously the Gemara is talking about a very specific, exact Re'iyah. But we don't have those kinds of exact Re'iyahs in normal circumstances. So assuming that we're talking about a Re'iyah that could be at any time in the day, so then we look at that entire period as the Re'iyah, and then then what's the Aina? There's no Aina. That's the Veset. The whole day is the Veset. So where's the Aina's Veset? Must be the day before that Re'iyah. That's the Aina's Veset. It's such a case. Okay, halacha l'maisa again. Many people just follow the halacha, and that Aina, meaning Aisa Aina, not Aina Achrita. B'nai Yeshivas are generally marked like the Aina of the Arzarua, as it's referred to.
Safety.
Because this is also an issue which is also taken into consideration in the Arzarua, that if the period is not completely linked to a time of the day, then there's the question that sexual stimulation can bring on a period. That's the point. So we saw this. Roya Makbas Chimud. So many of the Mefarshim, so you need to take that into consideration of the Chashash of Samuch Laina. That's the point. So you're Samuch Laina, how do you know you won't stimulate it yet? And that's the reason we have three Makbas. Yeah, but I know this is not when she wouldn't be Roya on her own. But it could be that you'll cause her to be Roya. So therefore, we have all of these types of chumash to be mazir. There's also shayla how to learn vizarta. Is it a diaraita? Be makban or something diaraita. If it's beikar derabbanan that we're being masmich on this vizarta, so then okay, and it's not so much that you need to be makban. You have a chuyav to take into consideration. Maybe she'll be roya. Again, we're going to see more as we go along. Just introducing the sugyas here. This massive, massive sugya that we finally get to towards the end of the masechta. Like they tell you when you go to Kupat Cholim, you know, you have a blood test the next day. Don't be time me to be urta. It says Rava. Now, remember mi katani be'erev, mi be'erev. It means from the time you went to bed. That's all it means. Afuke echa the kadim va'ochel. Omer Rabba Barba Konam Rabbi Yochanan Ezeu Rok Tafel Kol Shavar Alav Chatzot HaLayla. But it would have to be B'Shena. What? L'meimet B'Shena Ta'ya Milta V'Tanya Yashan Kol Hayom Ein Zeu Rok Tafel Ne'ur Kol HaLayla Arei Zeu Rok Tafel. Now that doesn't mean literally awake. It means the way Richie is awake. Ki B'Mitnanem Echi Domi Mitnanem Om Ravashi Neem Velo Neem Tir Velo Tir Korole Vani Velo Yada Ladure Svora Vechimat Korole Mitka Tana. Hishkima Shanat Pirko, and he spoke a lot, then even if he didn't eat or drink, Ein Zerok Tafel. Beat Kama Rir Bashil Om Ravashi Om Ravelozer Kol Shi Yatsa Rov Diburosha Shalosh Shaot, even if he spoke very fast. Megrisin Li Isat Grisin Shalpol. Oh, so if it has to be Le'isad, it seems to be Mesayel Reish Lakish. The Yom Reish Lakish, Rok Tafel is not a separate ingredient. Rok Tafel, Tzor Shiem Kol Achad V'Yachad. But it doesn't know what it will make you think it means Rok Tafel. Dil Mahav L'Dapum, Amalek. Matnit is definitely, though not like Rav Yehuda. The Tanya Rav Yehuda, Megri Sin means stew, Roteach. And it's over shi'itena tovo melach. But what do you mean over? My mashia means over the shandag dumeu. Omer lach v'yitzvah v'kav v'yorat zachimatz derech hakikar v'yavor atakushi. Abayim remiach v'hu avar lifneihem. V'yibayitem remiach v'yavor malkam lifneihem v'ashem b'roshan. Mei raglayim shi'ichmitzutana kamichim utzan shlosha yami. Omer b'yochanan. Big help. Kol shi'irach hachomi v'ktabim tzarech shi'ur l'shi'uran. What are we talking about over urine? What is urine? The yellow of the zakein, the isha, the isha, mechusim or megulim. What do you mean 3 days? 3 days in the summer, 3 days in the winter. What are we talking about? The tzorek v'chaschei shalosh b'amim. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, I don't even know what that means. Atuye v'atuye, does that count as one? Or do not atuye is chad, atuye is farta. My take. Heviran shulok isidron, ton ragmane. Yikdim shniyim l'rishonim. Zatoni chada shniyim alulu, alulu, rishonim lo alulu. V'tanina rishonim alulu, shniyim lo alulu. I'm Rabbi Abba, obviously the same thing. That both are agreed that the second applied, which is the first in the Mishnah, is what was Alula, and not the first applied, which is the second in the Mishnah. And we talk about the Rishonim and Shniim, my Rishonim, Rishonim l'kisidran, which are the Shniim l'havaratan, those are what's Alula, according to both of these brethren. Kol isha sheyesh lo vesetaya shata ve'elohina visatot mifaheket medateshet choshesh b'fikresa or b'shipulei me'eha or shofat or k'min tzimar moret or chazimota v'chan kayotze behem v'chor shekava shloshe pa'amim hare ze veset tanya chodazimna tanina chodazimna estima kol isha sheyesh lo vesetaya shata. Yes, that's visitot the yumi. Here we're talking about visitot the gufa, kiriktani, elo and visitot, aitamifa heket, mateshet, kosheshet, befikret, savishupulemeya, vishofat, shofat, what are you talking about? If shofat, or shofat, or aswa, omar ula, brother of Eloi, it means bishofat, dam tame, mitoch, dam tohor. Ucha means marmoret, vachinka yotzebem, what does that mean? Vachinka yotzebem. Latiyamai. Omar Rabba Barula, Latiy Isha Shrosha Kabidalea, Evorea Kvedinalea, Rotete, Tegosa. Omar Ravuna, Barthi Omar Shmuel, you should know, have a Kabbalah. Are Amru, Liyamim, it's enough Shnaim, Levestot in the Mishnah, it's enough Achat, and Lamar Shalom Manu Chachomim, which is a big secret, that's three. What are this? What's the big secret? Lamar Shalom Manu Chachomim, Latiyamai. What do you mean that's a big secret? Like a mashman, I understand. That's not a big secret. That's the beferish of the Mishnah. Because when it says, Koka Yotziba, Rabba Barula was already beferished, but Pirsha Rabba Barula. No. This is a different set of things. Elam Rabbi Latuye, Akla Shum Virata, Akla Bitzalim Virata, Kills Kisapil Pulim Virata. Omri guys, this whole business about Shmuel with different Shirim, three different Shirim, never heard it. Lashmi Ali Ashmait. Omri Abaya, yeah, well, you taught it to us. Atam Rita Nialan, I'll remind you, Aha Amrita Nialan, I tell him, Mudali Yodro, Yom Chamishasa. V'shintal yom esrim, zeh v'zeh asurim. But once it's shalosh pamim l'yom esrim, so then utar yom chimishasa, and now the kviyut is yom esrim. The rule being, shenisha kovat l'vesa, ad shetikbeno shalosh pamim, now you said, amartan Allah. The Ram Revir Ram Shmuel, look, it's all very nice, according to Rabbi Gamliel Barevi, who was quoting Rishim Gamliel, Abba Chachamim omrim, if she's rata in the days, ina tzricha lo l'shanot v'lo l'shalesh. So we asked you, if she doesn't need l'shanot, obviously she doesn't need l'shalesh. So l'shanot amartalan. What are we idiots? You have to say l'shalesh, we boy. And you explain that you're talking about two different things. L'shanot meaning bevisatot, you don't even have to repeat it. One time is enough. L'shalesh, you don't have to have three times biyamim. So that's how you taught it to us. By the way, why not just say Zudivir Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? If you go through the whole business, Zudivir Rabbi Gamliel Barebi, and then who holds like Shimon Gamliel? No, because Shmuel wants you to know that Rabbi Gamliel Barebi holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Hait alem mudali yodroa b'tchilat avisatot. So then kol atarot shasta b'toch avisatot t'meot. If she's l'mudali rot b'sof avisatot, listen, you should know that af yamim v'sha'ot also have the same din of the v'satot aguf. So in other words, let's say she was limuda liyot roa imane tzachama. So then she's only asur imane tzachama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol hayom shela. So let's see, I tell him, miyom esrim liyom esrim, and always at the sixth hour of the day. And says Rabbi Yehuda, Choseshet b'sheshaot, and even if Avru sheshet v'lorata, she still has to lashar mishkolo otu ayom, says Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if she wasn't roya, then mina mincha v'lamala, she becomes mutarat, and it's only that sheshaot, that hour, that she's asur. Haytala muda lirot, wait a minute. The ear it says Rabbi Yehuda says kala yom shala, and in the bright it says Rabbi Yehuda says kala laila shala. How do you explain that? Lokasha had regila lirot betchilat yemama, v'ot regila lirot besof laila. That's the point, and that, by the way, accounts for a different what appears to be contradiction in brightot, where Tani Chada Rabbi Yehuda asks her before the veset, but he's matir la'achra veset, and the other bright says just the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda asks her after the veset, but he's matir before the veset. I'd explain that. Exactly the same thing. Blokasha. If she's regular lemichse besof lailia, then he's asking her before the veset all night long, and kol hayom shela. If she's regila lemichse betchilat yamama, then he asks her after the veset, but not before, and kol halayla shela. That's exactly the point. Omar Rava, that's how we pass. I look, Rabbi Yehuda, what? Mi Omar Rava Ochi. I thought when the Braita said, Vizartem et bnei Yisrael mitumatam, mikanam Rabbi Yirmiya, azara lifnei Yisrael shifashu, minishotoyim samuch levistan. Vekama Omar Rava ona, which I assume, misomuch means the ona before, right? I mean, my love, ona chrite, which is bedafka, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Now you're saying he does pass, got very confused. No, he meant otauna. So if he meant otauna, why do we have two separate statements of Rava? One saying what he already said when he paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda. Because tricha, let's see, Ashminanaha. So it's sort of, what's our sugi here? Our sugi is talking about kol ha-tairot, shenaga, isha, sheshlaves, daya, shai. It's talking about tairos. So the gabi tairos, and achinam, he's paskin that we go like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was talking about. Sanim yuli tairot, abal ba'ala, lo, here, where Rabbi Yirmiya says the Torah adds an azara somach levistan. Maybe over there it means you have to be machmer more. Kamashmalan. On the other hand, if he just said that, I would have said ona means the ona before, like you thought. I would have said avamina somuklavista on ona akrite. Kamashman ota ona from the put the two together, and one clarifies the other. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. Shavua Tov, we're up to Daf Samach Gimel, right at the top line. Right? No? Is that right? Yeah, yeah. Ezel Rok Tafel, the next piece of the Mishnah. We're up to the various chemicals that we use for Bedika Taketen. And the Gemara says that the Mishnah says one of the things we use is Rok Tafel. What defines Tafel? Tafel is generally without any taste. What defines without any taste? Kol shelo ta'am klum biba'erev. As long as someone didn't taste anything from the night before. Sabru papaka medu rava lameh mekamandi amalo ta'am midi biurta. That's like when a person says, I went to bed without supper. I didn't eat anything the night before. Amalo rava, no. Miketani ba'erev doesn't say he didn't eat anything the night before. It says he didn't eat anything mi ba'erev from the night before. In other words, as long as, after going to sleep, he hasn't eaten. That's what it means. From the night before, he went to bed, and then he didn't eat after that. As opposed to a case where he gets up early, because it's still before Alois HaShachar or whatever, and he eats. And then he has to go back to sleep. That's not called Rok Tafel, because the Achila takes away the Merirut and the power of the Rok. Omar Rabba Barachana Omar Rabbi Yochanan Ezel Rok Tafel Kosha Abaralav Chatzot HaLaila Uvishena. As long as after, it was from the time of Chatzot
on. He was sleeping, or even if it was before Chatzot, through Chatzot, he wake up early, but he didn't eat, according to Tosfos. But in any event, as long as Chatzos was asleep from before or two after, it's okay. What? Sleep? I mean, are you telling me the Meima, the B'Shena, the Talia, Milta, the whole thing depends in sleep? Ratzan, Yashan Kol Hayom, Ein Zeh Rok Tefel. If he was asleep all day long, that's not considered to be a Rok Tefel. If it's Me'or Kol HaLayla, Reza Rok Tefel. On the other hand, if he is awake all night long, then, according to what it's saying is, even though he didn't sleep, that is considered to be Rok Tefel. And I get it. You are stressing the one factor that's an unimportant factor. You're claiming it depends on sleep. That's, and it doesn't depend on sleep at all. It's a function of day or night, according to this. No. Not true. Atam mimit namim. When it says over there that if you were up at night, it's still considered to be Rok Tefel. It's not talking about that you were literally up. It's talking about your mitzvah name, meaning what? Eti dami mitzvah name. Omer Ravashi, nim velo nim, tir velo tir. Basically, you're asleep, but not quite asleep. You're up, not quite up. Tosfos says this refers to the front and back of this. In other words, you're falling asleep. So you're not asleep yet, or you're waking up. You're not completely awake yet. And then there's what midway between sleep and waking. And the simon is the kari levan. If somebody will say your name, you'll answer them. Lo yada la dure svara. It doesn't mean that you can explain anything. V'chi medachru leimitcha. If somebody, this machlokas actually has a medachru leimitcha, is that if someone will remind you, did you leave the keys to the car in the front closet? Yeah. That's medachru leimitcha. But if someone will remind you, you will remember. You thought I was confusing you stealing the keys again. No. And the other medachru leimitcha is that if afterwards, someone, you remember I asked you last night if you knew where the keys were? You say, yeah, I remember. So then your name will not need to.
Oh, what's the difference, sir?
Whether you have to answer. Whether you answer, no, yes. I didn't leave the keys. Right. Because you can't be Maduri Swara, but you can, if something, somebody asks you, remember something. Do you remember?
Say that, yes or no?
Or do you remember this event? Will you remember this event? Right. So two completely different things. All right. In any event, that state is sufficient to induce Rok Tefel. Certainly, you do need Shena. This is a question. How do we define Shena? So we define Shena in this fashion of mitnamni. Tana, hishkim v'shanat pirkon. Suppose somebody gets up early and he doesn't eat anything. We said that eating now is mevatel the rok. He didn't eat anything. But he goes over his learning in the morning. Ein zeh rok tefel. Because speaking is also mevatel the karach of the rok. And therefore, it's not going to be sufficiently powerful to be Ma'avir Ketan. The Yad Kama, when you say he spoke, how much did he speak? Om Ravira Barshila, Om Ravashi, Om Rabbi Elazar, Koshi Yatsa, Rov Diburosh, Shavosh Sha'ot. What mostly you would speak in the course of 3 hours, I don't care how long it took you, but 3 hours worth of talking removes Rok Tefel. Continues the mission to say made grisin and defines now made grisin as leisat grisin shopol, which means that you chewed up the pole in your mouth and then you applied it to the keter. So does this now prove Reish Lakish's contention? Leimim isayel al Reish Lakish. The Om Reish Lakish rok tafel tzarich shiyehei im kol achad v'yachad. Reish Lakish tainu that rok tafel as opposed to the other ingredients in the Mishnah is a combined ingredient. In other words, when it says Rok Tefel, it means Rok Tefel with Ashlag and Netzer and so on and so on, goes through the whole thing, but each one is with Rok Tefel. In other words, the application is not within water, but it's within Rok. Because, I mean, otherwise, what do you mean? You're chewing up Megrisi. What do you have to chew them up for? And if you grind them up in water, that's not good enough. So in other words, you're telling me that it has to be mixed with saliva. That's even saying what Reish Lakish is saying, that it has to be. When we're talking about Megrisin, it means Megrisin with Rok, undoubtedly everything else also, no? Not necessarily, says the Gemara. The impact over here may not be Rok. It may be Havla de Buma. Dilma Havla de Buma Ma'ali. Maybe it's basically the heat level that we're talking about. In other words, that's the body temperature we're talking about now, and the moisture level. Okay, so fine. So here's a nice way to control that temperature. We're going to tell you, we're going to describe to you how to make a thermometer and tell you what temperature it has to be. And so on and so forth. So you chew it up in your mouth and apply it to them, and that'll be good. Not because you need saliva. So it doesn't prove Reish Lakish. Now, the Mishnah, however, is clearly not like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mishnah is saying certainly body temperature is sufficient. And Rabbi Yehuda learns, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Megrisin, referring to Megrisin, it has to be boiling. It's Roteach. Va'over shi'iten l'tocho melach, before any salt is put into it. Strange use of the word over, because we use to be mevorech on a mitzvah over la'asiyatan, right? Of course, we have the same Gemara there, as I'm sure you remember. My mashma d'hai over lishne da'av akadumihu. How do we know the word over means before? Amrinach riyetzu d'yamakrav v'yorat sachimatz v'erach hakikar v'ya'avor et hakushi, which means got there before him. Abai yorim Yaakov, who avar lifneyem. Yaakov goes in front. V'boitem yimiyachov, v'ya'avor malkam lifneyem v'ashem b'roshem. So you see, a lashon of to get there before l'akdumi is lashon v'ya'avor. And therefore, he's using over, the melach means prior to adding salt. But anyway, it's certainly connected to the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah says root body temperature is sufficient. He says it has to be boiling. Meraglaim. So now we said the shear. We also use urine that has turned now into ammonia. Tanakamachi mutsan, what defines that shear? Shloshayami. That's letting the urine sit for 3 days creates now the ammonia that we want. These things that we're saying over here are very inexact, and that they need further definition, because you're talking about three-day-old urine. I mean, tell me, what, three-day-old urine of who? Three-day-old urine of a child, of an adult, of a male, of a female, open, closed. You're talking about summertime, wintertime, what's the temperature? I mean, you didn't give me any details over here. So we need to define the yellow or the zakeh, the ish or the isha. With the same, omegulim. Bimota chama or bimota gishamim? What are we talking about?
But you
raise the question
and doesn't even
answer. That's right. Okay, so we're left with all of these shilas now. Actually, there's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about the which one is better. Is this a Seder in which necessarily the first one is stronger? In other words, X, which is strong, or even Y, which is less strong? Or is each one in a particular case is not going in order of anything? But okay, in order to be Semech, I'm going to have to go to Chumra over here. Mitzorech l'chasres shalosh pe'amim. When we talk about application, it's rubbing, it's not just soaking. So you need to do kiskus. The question is, what defines a kiskus? We had assumed that you had taken your Gemara with you, which is why everybody who wanted to borrow your Gemara could never find it.
I took this thing. Maybe I put it in, I don't remember. Between Brooklyn.
Yeah, well.
Hey.
So what happened? Why everybody kept asking, where's the Gemara? Yeah, come on over.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can fit anymore after all those meals. That's the problem. Did we tell you we're going on a Daf Yomi cruise for the sea?
I think that's a great idea. I'm not going.
Just
right.
Yeah, but
Rabbi
Yehuda
doesn't
know
that.
Yeah,
that's
right.
We're on somebody Gibbles
through. At the top?
Well, as usual, you're right on time. We can start over again.
I mean, this is a test now.
Yeah.
We're 2/3 of the way down. Over here. So, what defines kiskus? Boy, with your me, I'm tuyeve a tuyechad, or dilma am tuyeve a tuyech tartan. My. When you call rubbing, is rubbing going back and forth? That's called one rub. It's interesting, we have the same shiloh like Abbe Lulu. Is the nanua of a lulav moving one way, and then when you come back, you've been menaneh again, or is back and forth a nanua? Right? So you have the same question. What consists of a kiskus?
Is it the same?
By the way, don't laugh at that, because since Yerushalmi puts those two questions together, here the Bavli doesn't relate the two. The Yerushalmi actually relates the two as a result of which there are Rishonim who bring a raya that the lulav, you know how some people shake the lulav?
Yes.
Blood, right? They bring a raya that that's not called shaking the lulav, because it's similar to kiskus. And that it's undoubtedly based on the same yesod. Otherwise, what is one of them nothing to do with the other? Because when you have a pu'ula, which is a back and forth movement, it's the back and forth one, is the shaila. Which is proof that a lulav should be moved back and forth and not shaken.
Well, how about people go like
right. You want to hedge your bet. Hedge it with the love. Okay. That's the sheet of the Rambam. You know, you shouldn't rustle. There's no inyanim of rustling. Okay, maybe it's it's only based on Yerushalmi. Okay, take that too is left outstanding.
Just mentioned because he said that the
dad
of the
Isha
is the same version
of the Etrog now getting to the Lulav. That's right. And Dam
Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach.
Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach.
Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar
Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar
Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar
Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. Dam Nekar Naisach. But the first part was good. I mean, Telstone has that effect on people. I don't know. No, back.
Or back.
Fourth and back is two. Or back and forth is one.
Is that the same? It's not the same thing. They just brought to mind when regard to a tether on Shabbat.
Two.
When one puts
Kefir? Kefir? No, it's not the same.
But like the foot that thread through one no, four,
no,
twice,
no, 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 nothing to do with it. Heviran Shaloki Sidran. Now, if you applied these chemicals in the wrong order, then loss of klum. Tanarabanan Higdim Shniim L'Rishonim. Say you took the second half of the list and you put them on first. So now let's say you did the Neter, the Borit, the Kamunya, and so on. You put that on before you did the Rok and the Makris and the Meraglai. It's definitely Shaloki Sidran, but the question is like this. Tani Chada Shniim Alulo, Rishonim Lo Alulo. So one Brisa says, the second application is useful. Meaning, when you went back now to the beginning and you put on the Rok Tafel and the Megrisim and the Meraglayim, that counts as the beginning. You just ignore the first things that you did, right? So the second part of the application was Ayla Rishonim, but what you put on the front in the beginning, since it was out of order, lo alulo, that didn't count, because we're Shalok Yisidra. V'tanya Yidach, the other price says, the first one works, the second doesn't work, which is strange. Omer Abaye, it's not strange, it's semantics, baby. Eden Yidishniim Olulo, we're both talking about the second application, is what works, because that's the first chemicals. The point is, though, that when it says over here, my Rishonim, that second Brisa, it said the first one works. Means, the ones that were supposed to come first, that were applied second, those are the only part that work. That's all that it meant. So Rishonim means Rishonim Lekisidram, which are the Shniim in the application, in this case. So we can call them either one, you know. Just keep the Yesod in mind. Forget about the semantics, you go bananas. It's the second application works. The second application was the first chemicals. And it's pretty simple. Hello. Continues now the mission. Who was appointed? Wait a minute. It's got to be done with it. First of all, a little bit deeper and sound older. You can't give us your old 15-year-old self. You can't do it.
He can't do it.
It has to be
Richie's here. Go ahead, Richie. Richie, give it to us from the Bronx. Give it to us.
You're off the head of commissioner.
That's a Bronx cheer. Kol isha shigesh la veset daya shata. And so here we are now. This is a little bit weird. We should be going back to the beginning of the Masechet. Could have sworn I heard that before. So the Gemara, of course, is going to ask. I mean, didn't we start the Masechet that way? But now, actually, it turns out we're talking about something we didn't discuss before. What we're talking about now is a veset, not that it's kavua, as we usually talk about veset, meaning a particular time. Menses are associated with time, usually. This Mishnah introduces another concept. Ve'elu hein ha-vestot, this is what we are referring to with the concept of a veset. And this is called a veset ha-guf, a completely separate way of indicating that it is time for a period in which the period is non-periodical in time, but announces itself in terms of physical symptoms. And those physical symptoms are now the raya that this woman is about to see dawn.
PMS sort of thing?
PMS is a little bit too loose, but it might be. We'll see some of the symptoms described here are PMS symptoms. Mifaheket. So let's say, if she would normally yawn, or ma'ateshet, or she would normally sneeze, or choseshet b'pi kresa, or she has now a sudden pang in the stomach area, or b'shipulei me'el, or further down the abdomen towards her crouch. All of those issues. Now, this next word the Gemara says we don't understand what that means. We'll talk about what it, but it's clearly on the surface. Doesn't make any sense. Vishofa'at. Shofa'at seems to be saying that she was bleeding from before. So it's crazy. If she was bleeding from before, this is not a sign of an oncoming vessel. She's bleeding. But it turns out in the Gemara that what it means is that there is not blood, but rather non or tahar blood. In other words, things that would not be matamayer, and after some period of that, she now begins to actually have irregular bleeding. So that's what shofat means. So it's a symptom of bleeding to come. Or chamin tzimamarot or chazimot, or that she has tremors or dizziness. The chenkayotse by the other clear-cut physical symptom, which then results in a bleeding that's always associated with it. If this happens three times, and this is kaveh the veset, and that means daya shata. So in other words, let's say that she wasn't bodeket at the moment. She finds that she's bleeding later on, an hour later. So now, what do we say? She should be chashish 24 hours before, like a regular woman? No. Because like we said before, that if she was expecting now a period in a particular day, so then she doesn't have to be choshesh for before that time. Here too, at the time that pain is there, that's the only moment that she has to be choshesh from. Tanino chodazim, didn't we have this mission before? Kol isha sheyesh lo veset daya shata? Could have sworn we heard that. No, hatam vesta diyumi. It's a whole different idea. Over there we were talking about veset in the regular sense, periodical, in other words, days. Hakam vestot de gufa, and here we're talking about symptoms, which you wouldn't have thought even to call it vestot, and you see that there's going to be a fundamental difference between the kviyut of these two things. Because of that issue, are we talking about the same idea as we would be in that which has a periodicity? Kidiktani. Elohim vistot, and as it explains now, by the way, I just want you to know there are machlokes in the Rishonim, how to define those words. The reason I'm not bothering telling you is because it really doesn't make any difference, because it's called kayotzi, but as long as we have a symptom, as some people learn, everybody thinks that there's a machlok, as Rashi learns here, mifaheket means to stretch. Now clearly he's referring to an involuntary stretch. In other, Tosus explains the fact it's a yawn. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it's a machlokas. He's talking about a yawn that also affects, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a yawn that makes the person
involuntarily
stretch out, not only open their mouths. Tosus is kasha about other places where we see clearly that mefaheket is a lotion of yawning, it's not much of a conscience. Rashi's saying it has to be a very strong, affecting your whole body type of yawn. Not just a yawn, it could have happened at any point, maybe just coincidental then that she's right at that. But anyway, I mean, that's an example, or a mitateshet. Again, because of modern Hebrew, we're used to using these words in a particular way, but that doesn't mean that that's the way it was used. Now, mitateshet means to sneeze. Okay, I mean, it might have meant to burp at the time. Or, yeah, I mean, but there's other machlokes. But in any event, it still basically doesn't really matter, because any of those symptoms would be the same.
Different women show any or some of the
or not. At least not clearly enough to be able to be told of the Don in that particular way.
Does it have to be the same symptom, or can it be a different?
No, it has to be the same. So therefore, here we're talking about that's not the gufa, kidiktani. Elo hein vistor, taitame faheket, ma'teshet, foshesha pipi kretsa, bishupulu me'er, shofat. What are you talking about, shofar?
Are these symptoms, or what does it mean? That she's about to have a period, or what?
If she was raya dam after one of these events, then that is the way that she's raya dam.
Three times.
In the Mishnah, three times. And if she now feels that, so that's the same like events that she has to check herself. The assumption is that she's raya. Right, and on the other end, if she does see dam, she doesn't have to worry about having seen it earlier. Whereas normally, if she wouldn't have a period, that's dayan shaita. So that's a kibzer kula. But what does the shofat mean? Shofat? So then you're telling me, shofat usually we use to mean continual bleeding. So she's bleeding from before, so then that's not a vessel. What does shofat mean? Omar ula breder vilay means bishofat dam tamei mitov dam tahor. In other words, she usually will be raya, but not things that are metaming her. The only thing is that after a day of that, suddenly it turns into real blood. So then that is now a simon of an impending raya. Even though this, no, the dam, the non-coming dam.
Okay. It's another simon, or it's attached to these other three?
It's the same as one of these things.
It's independent.
It's independent. The shofar is independent of the sneeze or the scratch.
Of course.
Okay.
Or shofar. Okay.
Every time she was going to have a thing, she would have this kind of bleeding before.
She would have this non-tummy bleeding, and then she would see regular dye.
Why would it be non-tummy? How would I know it's non-tummy?
It's white, green, yellow, orange, purple, polka dotted. Or any other thing.
Polka dots.
Some liquid coming out.
Yeah. The truth is, it's not so partial. I mean, I'm saying it in a facetious way, but it really seems to be a machlokas rishonim, by the way. Because the question is this, are we talking about red blood, which we know is not the right red, which were the arba maris dam? We have, there's only four colors of red that the Torah included. And anything else is not, but other things are not dam bechlal. It doesn't say that it was yellow. White. I mean, that's not shofar. That's just mucus.
How long is this?
Wait 1 second. So the machlokas would, the area where this would become nogel halacha, this is the way some understand the Rambam. The Rambam lists all of these things and leaves out shofar. So the explanation that some offer is because since we no longer, already at the Gemara we saw this as a problem, we no longer have the color sensitivity to distinguish between the four colors of red and the particular reds that we see. We don't know how to tell the difference. Therefore, there's no mention of this halacha because it's not nogea. But that would mean that the Mishnah is talking about dafka, the four colors, which everybody else learns that a shofar would mean a symptom of being raya polka dots, so to speak. So the truth is, you know, I laughed a little, but it is a serious question. How far would this? Otherwise, why would he leave it out?
The Rambam must be learning.
Well, that's what they're telling you. Just, you know, telling you over there.
Why can't it be a...
I don't think the Rambam does things like that.
Oh, really?
But whatever.
Why can't it be like a nosebleed or a urinary infection? That kind of stuff?
Could be. It could be. It has to have some kind of reasonable association. Anything like that? Meaning what? When you say, what type of things? How far do we go? Omer Rabba Barula, like BMS. Isha Shirosha Kaved Aleha. Evorea Kavedim Aleha. Rotetet. Gosad. And this Gosad would seem to be to birth. So all of these various symptoms, as long as they're immediately associated with Riyas Dam, is considered to be
physiological.
You're asking, is PMS psychological or physiological?
PMS,
premenstrual syndrome. It's a very modern thing. No woman would be caught dead taking Advil if she could take Myvel. Even though it's the same exact ingredients, it doesn't matter. It's got to be specific for PMS. Anyway, it's all very modern. Most societies never heard of it. You know, it's like the it's like menopause. They did a survey. They just did a survey. They asked women in Asia and Africa of menopausal, if you're going through menopause, like how often they suffer, hot flashes. They never heard of such. They never heard of anybody who heard of it. There was no way to translate it because there was no such. So there went the survey. So again, who knows? But I mean, there's some type, certainly some type of physiological connection, because otherwise it would have suddenly fine. Omer Ibn Abakhi Amar Shmuel. Hare Amru. Now this is really fascinating. Hare Amru Liyamim Shnayim Levestot Achat Lamashalomanu Chachamim Shlosha. This is really crazy. In other words, it seems to say like this. When it comes to be kovat, a vestet of yabim, it has to happen twice in order to be kavua. Again, we know this is not true. We know la halacha, we need three times. But remember that there's a machlokas all over Shas of whether a chazak is defined by two times or three times. Right? Famous question of how many times a woman has shot her husband.
Yeah.
So, it seems to be saying that seems to be saying that to be koveya aveset is a chazok of two times. To be koveya aveset, such as we just discussed, aveset haguf, doesn't require anything. It happens once, it's now defined as a aveset. How could that be? Nobody holds that a chazok is one time. And this the Rishonim talk about, that it has to do with what we discussed earlier. When we call this a veset, are we referring, is it a borrowed term? Is this really a veset? To be koveya, any sense of period requires chazaka. So the explanation of some of the Rishonim is like this. That where you're talking about a personal period, then it requires a chazaka. However, these are universals. The question is, are you one of the women who get a headache before a period? If you are, you are. Why do we have to see that three times? There is a phenomena called women who get periods after having a headache. So having established that you're that woman, so why would we need you to establish it two times, three times? You're not creating the period, you're just letting us know that you're one of those people.
This is the only time they get a headache.
No, it doesn't have to be the only time you get, or the only time that you yawn, but we do know that you will not be raya dam without a headache, is what we're saying. It's an association of headaches to raya.
Do we have to take
so if that's the case, it's not the visut that's important here in modern Hebrew. Because a visut indeed would require the creation of a chazaka of some type. But it is a symptom. And a symptom is something that has been established by millions of other people. It doesn't require you to establish a symptom, it's a well-established symptom. But what are we going to say? That every second of the month you'll be Raya Dam, that's something that we see at once, it's going to become, but why would we say such a thing? Okay?
Do we have to take into account all the dates of the time in between?
We saw earlier that there is a Veset Haguf Liyamim, remember? Mm-hmm. Way back in the beginning of the Masechta. There is such a thing. That's a different phenomenon than Veset HaGuf. That's called a Veset HaMurkav. So you have a Veset that if on the second Monday of the, or whatever, there's a woman will be, we had the case of Kofetzet, then she'll be Roya Dam. And we'll see that that whole issue is somewhat different, because when something is done, It's different than an involuntary symptom. And that we're going to talk about in a moment, or it's what we talked about earlier. If a woman does exercise on the second day of the month, she'll be Roya Dam, the exercise clearly is not a symptom.
Right.
It has some role to play as being a cause.
But if
the Rambam in all of those cases holds that there's no such thing as this type of eset without a connection to the yom. So you wouldn't have a kofetzet that could be, we'll see, we'll talk about this yet. You're drawing me out too much.
I just want to...
I was afraid of that.
No, John is 11
Every
days.
Time I hear just, I get worried.
So this can still happen?
It's like, so she speaks, she says just. It's like right away, no, it's changed my whole day. It's just.
Yes. Kids do that. I was just saying, I teach this quiet. I was just telling...
No. There's got to be some sort of...
Maybe that's because it's justification, always, right? That goes that. We have to justify it.
Okay.
He was just...
when it happened, right? I mean, the these different symptoms at the wrong time of the month won't matter, will it? I mean,
why not?
Even during those 11 days, like right after Nida?
That's the question at times in the Selecta Stami, but that's a quite different issue, where there's a pregnancy or time that's not right to be run. So those are issues that we bring up. Now, so let's assume that that's true. I mean, obviously, this is a Mount Yarmouth who does not agree with our mission. Our mission says three times. So here it says once. So I mean, we're going to have to explain that this is a different shita. But what is the addition of here? Lama shalom manu chachamim. What is that included? Lama shalom manu chachamim. That for that, we need three. What is he referring to? Omer of Yosef, I guess. I don't know, same thing that we thought. I mean, like, see, Rosh HaKaved Aleha, you know, headaches. Evarei HaKvedin Aleha. Rotetet, Gosa. Like we had in the Ko Kayotze Behem. That was the Ko Kayotze Behem. The other symptoms. Omer Le'Abaya, no, it can't be that, really. My Kamashvalan. Masnisani. The Pirsha Rabba Barula. The truth is that this Maika Mashmalan is a little bit misleading, because Maika Mashmalan would mean it's true what you're saying, but what would be the finish in saying that? But over here it can't be true. It must mean Maika Mashmalan. What the heck are you trying to say? Because if these things are included in the Mishnah under and the other symptoms, so then that means you're telling me that they're the equivalent of the original symptoms. Right? So if the equivalent of the original symptoms, so then again, I mean, the Mishnah is saying whatever the din is in the first one is in the second one. Obviously, it's not matznisini in the sense of the Mishnah holds it three times. So if you're telling Ovi Lamasha lo manu chachamim three times, and yet you still said levestot one time, so that it's a little difficult to believe that the Baika Mashma means, well, wouldn't you know it? I mean, after all, the Mishnah said these things too. I mean, so why do you have to bother? What do you mean? I'm telling you it's a different halakha. What do you mean, Maika Mashmalan? I'm telling you that when it comes to sneezing, one time is enough. But when it comes to dizziness, three times? And you're telling me Maika Mashmalan? When the Mishnah said they were all the same thing? So how, it can't really mean Maika Mashmalan. Isn't that clear? And what he's saying was, what are you trying to say? If you're trying to use this, it's the same way we understood in the Mishnah. L'masha lo manu chachomi, meaning, it's the equivalent of kol kayotzi behem. So then, where do you get it from? In the Mishnah, they should all require three. In his moda, they only need one. So why do these need three and that needs one? Elam rabaye. Yeah, it says rabaye can't mean that. This is a different thing that the first case, where you're saying that a veset only requires one, is where the veset is a symptom. This case, it says, requires three, seems to be even less symptomatic than setting up a series, periodicity of days, which only requires two, according to this Zman D'Yomah. This requires three, so it has to be something that is an extremely loose relationship to the bleeding. So should we, let's say, Ochla Shum Verasa, Ochla Bitzalim Verata, Kiskisa Pilpulim Verata. So there was a Re'ia that may be related to the sharpness of the onions or the peppers. I don't know. If it happens three times, then okay. I mean, then we could say that would be a vessel. This is not a symptom that could possibly be called one thing. Now again, we had earlier kofetz. Over there, there's clearly a relation, the loosening of the dam, let's say, to the kofetz. Over here, we don't really know of such a reasonable relationship, but we can be koveyed in three times. You know, this business about yamim, shnayim, vestes, achas, never heard it before. Omar le Abaye, what do you mean? You taught it to us. Adam nita ni'alan, I'll remind you of how you taught it to us. Aham nita ni'alan, you said it to us on the following. We're learning like that, limuda li'yotru ayom chamishasa. A woman who had a period for the 15th of each month. Vishinta li'yom esri. This was something that we discussed earlier. We took for granted that a chazaka was three times. She changes now, and instead of seeing on the 15th, she sees on the 20th. The next month, both days are asr, and oh my God. 3 weeks of cruises and relaxation!
What about when you see, what's it called, jet lag, once, not three times, but once,
you didn't bring the cruise here.
Jet lag.
You still have to fly.
It's
going to
be a long jet lag.
Oh, thanks for telling me.
Still the next
jet. Is there a period in between?
It's called lag until the next jet.
That's Terry Makeup said it's 3 weeks before the vacation. 3 weeks after the vacation, your holding date's still there.
Uh-huh. All right. So now, if she misses the 15th, she has to worry about the 20th still. No, so she still has to be chosheshes for Yom Esri. Shalosh pa'amim le'Yom Esri? If now three times she's roa on the 20th and not on the 15th, so now hutar Yom Chamisha, so she no longer has to worry about the vesit on the 15th. V'kav'a la'Yom Esri? She'in isha kovat laveset ad shtikbeena shalosh pa'amim. The Yom says very clearly, you're not koveya veset unless you were roya three times. Same thing is true about being okeret veset. You can be chosheshet for one time. Now, here's what you said to us on that mimer, and that's why I say that you certainly taught us this that we just said, which was strange, Ravuna Bar Chiyar Mashmua. But you said this was like this. V'amarta n'Allah, Amr Yudah Mashmua, which I'm just saying you never heard that. Zudiv Rei Rebbe Gamliel Barevi Sha'amar Mishum Rebbe Shimon Ben Gamliel. That this shita of requiring three times is actually dependent on the shita of Rebbe Shimon Ben Gamliel, who always says three times, right? If you're going to decide, so what is a shor hamuad, the third time and a fourth time? What is a woman katlanit? She murdered two husbands or three, and so on and so forth. So here, where it says three times are required for a chazaka, that's the shita of Rav Gamliel law. But this was quoted by Rav Gamliel bar Rebbe. Aval chachamim omrim. Now, by the way, let's note that there's two separate issues. It's not so simple, because Rav Shimon Gamliel, one would have, if I would have asked you, what would Rav Shimon Gamliel have to say about this? You would have said, well, undoubtedly, when it comes to Yomim, you would have said you need three times, not two times. You wouldn't necessarily have jumped to the conclusion, and when it comes to the symptomatic vestov, he requires three times, because we require it once. So even if you hold a Rebbe that needs two times a chazaka, you don't think that you need a chazaka at all to be koveya vetzta group, because you're just trying to now establish what group that already exists. What set of women do you belong to? I've been building up a lot of aggression. Let me tell you, every single day thinking about it, and Richie is out there, and Richie is out there. Now you're
And there's been no one for everybody to pick up.
And, no one?
We don't
care. Darnay was all right.
Yeah, you missed the legend.
You come to life and he picked
up.
He's
not the same, though.
He gets off that.
He comes
later.
Didn't you miss it, Rich?
I did.
Sitting and listening to the CD, you just fall asleep, and nobody does anything.
I got to go over and over and over again.
I can just see it. Where was I? They have those little things, you know, for driving that detect when you're falling asleep.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they start buzzing when your head starts drooping. That's what you got. It's not a bad thing. I'd actually market it on the Duffy Army site.
I get one.
For your bicycle.
All right, so you wouldn't have predicted the tripping up here would have also argued about that, because that's a totally different issue that has nothing to do on the surface with the question of whether two times or three times is a chazak. It's a question of how you look at it. Do you look at it as requiring a chazaka, or do you say that it's only to establish the set of people that she's part of? It's very difficult to see any relationship between those two questions. It's only because of the fact that we know that the Mishnah says three times, even on a Vestaguf. So obviously somebody is chaylik on this, correct? So then it makes sense to say that if we find Rav Shimon ben Gamliel arguing about the number of times, and Mistame, he is the author of our Mishnayos that talk about three times, it's got to be him. You said, but why does, I don't know, this is a separate question, why he holds you need a chazaka. But once we're talking about a chazaka, it's a three-time chazaka. So that would be Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Abu Chachamim Omri, Ra'atan, Eina Tzricha Lo Lishnag Lo Lishalesh. If she's Raya, she doesn't have to be Raya twice or three times. V'amrina L'cha. I said to you, what do you mean? Lishnag Amartan. If you're telling us, didn't you just say she doesn't have to need two times or three times? Obviously, if she doesn't need two times, how would she need to have three times? That's what we asked you. And here's where you explain very clearly what it was that Shmuel was saying. V'amartlan, you explained to us that lishnot is in terms of vestot. And lishalesh is biyamim. That when it comes to the vestot haguf, you don't even have to do it twice, because once is enough. As I just said over to you, you said you never heard of it. You're the one who explained it. When it comes to vestot haguf, you don't even have to do it twice. Lishnot. Once is enough. Again, because we're talking about establishing now not your own symptom, but a common symptom, and you, a member of a set of people who has that symptom. Lishalesh, you don't need three times when it comes to be koveya, a chazaka, biyamim, because this is going according to those who are going to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So, Lamaisa, Rav Yosef, you forgot, but this is what you said. Why did you say, though, Zu, Divrei, Rav Gamliel? Why didn't you just go back to the source? You said, this is Rav Gamliel Bar Rebbe, who was quoting Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Why not just say Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? HaKamash Ben Shmuel, the Rav Gamliel Bar Rebbe, Ki Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. He's just telling you that you should know. The Shita of Rav Gamliel, when you'll find it, is Kishita of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, not Kishita's Rebbe, which is twice. Now, the shaila is like this. We know that the veset has an additional implication, and that is it's something we haven't yet discussed in the Masechta, which is prisha samuch leveset. We know that it's important not to be in contact with a woman at the time that she's expecting to be reyadan. The shaila is, how far does that prisha extend? To what exactitude do we look at a veset is one issue. And the other question is, how far before or after the expected onset of dam, do we have to be chayshish that the dam is going to be here? It'll still show up even though it wasn't here. So I tell him, let's say she was normally going to be ro'ah at the beginning of this process. Let's say she's yawning for an hour, right? A series of yawns. And usually this starts right away. She yawns, it will be ro'ah. Then kol ha'tarot she'asta b'toch ha'listot tmeot. Then anything that she touched during the veset has to be assumed that it was tmeah if she ends up being ro'ah. B'sof ha'vestot kol ha'tarot she'asta b'toch ha'vestot t'orot. Then if she normally will yawn, let's say for an hour, series of yawns before being ro'ah, and then is Raya, so then you don't have to be Chayesh on Tyrus from before. That's part of the Dayan Shaitan. Dayan Shaitan, whenever the normal time was to be Raya, I don't have to be Chayesh before that time. Says Reb Yossi, now wait a second, this is unfair, because it isn't really, this halacha is not a function only of Vestot HaGuf, which we got to hear towards the end of the Masechta. The truth is, af Yamim and even Sha'ot, Arvestot. You can define with exactitude what point of veset is. Let's say, Haitalimuda liyot ro'a im hanetzach hama. Say that she always sees dam at daybreak. Right at daybreak. So then that's the only moment that you have to be parish for, you have to be choshish for Re'il Agabi Tyrus. Rabbi Yehuda says, now wait a second. The day is hers. We talk about hers, meaning l'shamech. The day is hers. However, the night, the entire night, before that daybreak, she would be asura.
So which day is
hers? In the end, we're going to see, and I will tell you now so you won't get confused later. In the end, we're going to see the reference over here is that she's roya ima netzachama, meaning at the last minute of what has a din of laila, at the moment of the daybreak. Yeah? So what Rav Yehuda is saying, therefore, is that the entire period, the entire 12-hour period, which is associated with her re'iyah, even though her re'iyah comes at the very, very end of it, the entire 12 hours is considered to be her period. So at the beginning of that night, it's necessary to be purged from her. But then she has Kol HaYom Shalah, even though, and this is very interesting, because the Kol HaYom is 10 minutes later. She wasn't right before the Netzach Hama. So then all day long she's not considered to be in the Mokum of Shasha being Raya.
Because it's only going to be next night.
The previous night.
Only if she wasn't.
Doesn't matter.
So then
it's over.
She missed
her period. So, in other words, even though one is 12 hours before, very unlikely that she would be right, and one is 10 minutes later, it has nothing to do with the closeness in time. It has to do with the day or night in which the period will normally fall. So, time.
12 hours, not 24 hours.
So far, what we're talking about is 12 hours. Yeah. There's also, we'll see that there's Vesed, some of the Vesed, gradually, we're just getting into the bad news now. Tanya. Ketzad om Reb Yossi yomim v'sha'ot vestot. When Reb Yossi says, it's not fair to limit this to Vesed HaGuf. This is true about yomim v'sha'ot. Well, let's say, ha'italimuda liyot ro'am yom esrim liyom esrim. Let's say that she sees every 20 days, but it's always b'shei sha'ot v'shei sha'ot. It's always 20 days at the sixth hour of the day. So now it comes along 20 days, 6 hours. So Yigia Yom Esrim Velo Rata Asura L'Shamesh Kol Shesh Sha'ot. That, the 6th hour, the entire Shesh Sha'ot, the 6th hour of the day, Yigia Yom Esrim Velo Rata Asura L'Shamesh Kol Shesh Sha'ot Rishonot. So she cannot be Mishameshet, according to Rabbi Yehuda, during the first 6 hours of the day. As we'll see, same thing which we're doing the last 6 hours of the day. But we're splitting it up in order to establish the difference between Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi. So Reb Yehuda says, Now she's ready in the daytime. The whole day is the onat haveset. I said it's true about the last 6 hours, but we're splitting it up in order to distinguish the dinim of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So the first 6 hours, says Rabbi Yehuda, she's a sur l'shamish. Rabbi Yossi says no, she could be mishameshet until the 6th hour, but now until the 6th hour, fine. The 6th hour she has to be chosesh. Even I agree. That whole hour. There is, by the way, a discussion about whether this implies that there's no such thing as a kviyas vesed le-yoter misha'ah. In other words, the rega. Is there a daka, 6:30? Could that be koveya vesed, according to Rabbi Yossi? It's a discussion in the Achronim whether a concept less than an hour exists in the Torah in terms of chazaka. You know, is that one... The truth is that there's a fascinating machlokas achronim whether hours exist when you rise. In other words, is the concept of splitting a day into 24 hours, is that a diuraisa? Do we find anywhere 24 hours, or is that a social agreement? Because if you could say sheshaot means midday. Uh-huh. Now, midday is certainly something which, that's a reality. It's midday. But to talk about at a particular point, how well do we define a point? That's not clear. The Chazon Ish brings many rayas that it is a Torah concept. And therefore, he also said over here, we're talking about Kvias of Shah is in terms of the horizons. It makes tremendous nafkaminas. But there are many Achronim who claim that we don't find it's only Sheshaot. If it wouldn't be that, it's just to pick an hour, any hour. It's the same as saying pick a minute, any minute. Where, what's a minute? Whoever broke an hour up into 60 minutes? Who decided to do that?
And we don't have morning, noon, and afternoon?
Fine, maybe. In the morning and the afternoon, or midday. That's morning, evening, and afternoon.
Yeah, that has to be defined.
Yeah.
In some capacity, some fashion.
It's defined by percentages of a day. But are there units? The question, are there, is there such a thing as a unit?
Is it possible to define those parts of the day?
Yes, in terms of percentages. Half, quarter, and so on. But is there such a thing as a unit of an hour, which is 1/12 of a day? Does it have any significance?
Are those simply labels for defining those?
No, if a day is only broken up into two parts, which is morning and afternoon, so then how could there be a meaning in less than that?
No, this is the main topic on the front page of Daf Yomi.
How come they didn't give these out? Actually,
they don't always have them.
Okay, let me. Can I borrow it? Thank you.
This
stuff
kesher is something to be
Kesher
is something to be.
I don't know. If you have patience for it, this particular one is very hard to read through. It reads like one of these Yerushalmi storytale stories. Everybody does the, you know, where it takes you like three paragraphs of introduction to get to the kernel of an idea that should have been like 1 second. So, if you've got the patience for it, I'm sure it's interesting information. Okay, so, up till the 6th hour, Rabbi Yehuda says it's us. Rabbi Yehuda says it's mut. The 6th hour, Rabbi Yossi is, it says you have to be choshesh. Of Rushe Sha'od Velo Ra'ata, suppose now the period doesn't show up in the 6th hour. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, I already told you, the Onat HaVeset, as our dear president pointed out, is Asura. Therefore, she's Asura L'Shamish until the end of the day. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi?
Are you defining that now?
No, it's the opposite of Kol Yom Shalah. Shalah is that it's hers. Hers doesn't mean to be Asur, hers means to be Mutter. As opposed to some people's way of looking at things. Not you, Rabbi Yossi Matir at Sheshot, Choseshet b'Sheshot, B'Sheshet v'Lo Rasa Asur B'Shamish Kol Yom Kulo. Rabbi Yossi Matir Min HaMelech v'Lo Mahalo. By the way, there's a shayla. Is that something different min amincha milamala? Min amincha Rashi learns it's shesh shaos milamala. So then why don't you say avru shesh shaos mutar to shabish? It's called min amincha milamala. Most Rishonim learn min amincha milamala means even Rabbi Yossi's motor, you need an extra half an hour. Because in order for it to be mincha time, you need that extra half an hour. Why do you need an extra half an hour? Also, chashash, or the same way that we're always afraid.
Still more.
You're not 100% sure, lagabi tefillah, lagabi akrovus karmin pesach, and so on and so forth. It's the same thing over here, mincha v'lamala. Rashi goes out of his way to insist, haynu mishe sha'ot v'lamala. Make it precise. Okay. There are whole books dedicated to this question. Would you like me to recommend a few to you? So now we have a machlokas about this din of the veset itself, the day, the onah of the veset. Haitala mudal, let's take a look at it. The Mishnah says, Haitala mudal, iroti mneitza chamas, Rabbi Yudah says, kol ayom shala. Now that's a little weird because there's a brisa that says, Rabbi Yudah, omer kol alayla shala. Well, no kasha. The question is, what does im ha-neitzach ha-mah mean? At the very end of the night, right before the neitzach ha-mah, or at the very beginning of the day, right as the neitzach ha-mah. So that's a harder regila lirot b'tchilat yamama. So this is b'tchilat yamama, then call a layla shala. Harder regila lirot b'sov layla, that's called hayom shala, but the layla itself is asura because it's in the veset, in the ona of the veset. Tani Choda, Rabbi Yehuda Osra Lifnei Vista Umatira La'achar Vista. One Brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda answers her before the onset of the Veset, but is Matir her after that time, and the other Brisa is just the opposite. That Rabbi Yehuda answers her La'achar HaVeset as Matira Lifnei Vista. And the truth is, you now know that Lo Kasha, it really is not a question, because he's not addressing time at all. There are cases where she's muteret after, in this case we're a surah after, and vice versa. Because all that is important is the onah in which the veset was chala, not the time, how close you are to the veset. So velo kasha, hadiragila lemirsi besov lailia, and then she misses the veset, it's 1 minute later, she's muteret. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda mat. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Liakar HaVeset. In the other case, it's 1 minute before the Veset. Rabbi Yehuda is Matir Lifnei HaVeset. So both of these brises make perfectly good sense. You are bringing back that zapper with some fresh patterns. He will sign that you will not be sued for providing weapons of
I'm getting mosquitoes at night. You don't have buzzing in your ear. You want that sort of analyze of that thing. I'm telling you, it's a crazy.
It really works?
It works.
Because I saw we were trying to get some here and we didn't. Wow. How many times?
I've got 15 kills on it.
Wow.
15 kills at night?
I've got 2 kills with lights off, wife asleep, just hearing the bug and doing it around and just like catching it somewhere.
Unbelievable.
It's great. And the more blood it has.
Listen, you guys want to all get together and you can order them wholesale. I ordered them on eBay and then I canceled the order because when we were trying to kill that mosquito in here, we worked on it for an hour when we could have just.
No, the fast flies, forget it. The mosquitoes, the more blood they have in them, the bigger
it's. Is that
explosion.
What it's made for?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it's for. It's not for waking up, bitchy.
It's not a stunt.
Yeah. I didn't make it up. Just for making up Richard?
I once asked Rav Nimitzel, the Shaila, how small a bug has to be, at what point is there no longer a din of Tsar Balei Chayim? Like, you have a roach. So I asked that question, and I can't remember the answer yet. Well, at what point is it no longer
a and it's a function of how big it is.
I don't remember the answer he gave me. Of an animal or an insect. I don't remember. I remember asking the Shaila.
Ignore the man behind the curtain and tell me how many people want to join up to get these things. Raise your hand. You're interested?
They're
not expensive.
When the wedding gets warmer, they'll be sorry.
They'll be sorry. All right, I'm going to go ahead and order. You're in? No, seriously, I should buy a bunch of them?
What exactly is the...
I forgot what I think it was like $15 something like that when I got in there.
I know what my wife is.
An electric mosquito.
My wife would stop and shit. They said they hate this. No, they like it. It's me they like it.
Oh, that's my question.
Mosquitoes.
Oh.
No, no, they love it.
All right. He just mentioned, I asked Rav Nimitzel this other one. Because he asked about fishing. He asked whether it's tolerated for my fish. The question is, fishing, is there tolerated by putting the hook in the fish?
No problem. It's a fish. You can dunk it in a mikvah.
Either would appreciate this.
No, continue his bigger mark. Just another hour at this rate. Omar Rava. Omar Rava. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, we can paskin like that. What? Rava holds halacha Rabbi Yehuda that only the ones haveset is osur? Doesn't it say in a brayso of Tanya, v'hizartem et b'nei Yisrael mitumatam? Now this is the posik that we use to aser somuch leveset. Mikan omer of Yirmiya, azhara livnei Yisrael sheyifushu minishtoyem somuch levestam. From here we see that it is necessary to maintain a distance from a wife when it's expected that she'll be royada, even though she is currently not Anita. Vikama, how much time are we talking about? And Rava explained over there that the time we're talking about is Ona. Now, doesn't that mean Samuch Levistan, in other words, Ona Achrite, the 12 hours before the time that she's going to be Roya? So in other words, it would be, if she's going to be Roya in the morning, then the night before should be Asura. Which means that it's not the same as Rabbi Yehuda. And here he passes like Rabbi Yehuda. No. It means Ota Ona. Somuch Levestan means any time within that 12-hour period of night or day is what it means. The same.
She would be Asura.
That's when she would be Asura. So then, Taki Lamali, why do we need Rabbi to Paskin over here? I mean, clearly when he says the Shir of Ona. So he's paskening like Rabbi Yirmiyah. On the other hand, he says Alok Rabbi Yehuda, which is saying the same thing, that you have to be prayerish, that Ona. So Tati Lam like Tzricha. No, it's two different things. Yes, we don't know. Have been out of the Tyrus. We weren't talking about Baala. We're the same thing over here about precious in terms of her husband. It says in the Mishnah, Kola, Tarot, Chasta, Betoch, Avesta, it's talking about Negiya Betarois. This all appears in the context of Kola Nashim Dayan Shatan. Dayan Shatan never had to do with a husband, only had to do with tyrants. So I would certainly have assumed that he's talking about in terms of tyrants. You don't have to be Cheshish if it's outside of that own number. I mean, how do I know this halach? I would know that there's a din of precious somach leveshet betoch only the owner. I would know that's the terms of her husband. Gamash malon. V'imiayi, have a min somach levista onachrite. If he hadn't explained himself, and when he passed like Rabbi Yehuda, I could easily have concluded that how much, when he says vikama, oma rova ona, that ona means the ona before. So he's going to be right in the morning, then the night before is also. Now that he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, Kamashman Otauna. Now we know that he means the same period during which the dam is expected. That entire period before and after is Prisha Samuch Levesit, Samuch before and Samuch Liachet.
Samuch, how much before? 6 hours or 12 hours?
No, nothing. From the beginning of that
just
night or day. 1 minute or 12 hours, depending on when the Riyah is. When the Vesak is.
Besofer,
if the Vesak is Besof HaLayla, so it's the 12 hours from the beginning of the night. If it's Betchilas HaLayla, then it's the 12 hours following the Vesak. If it's the next day, then it's the entire night. The entire day. I mean, that's what we said. Depends how you measure it from. But it's always the same period that equals the Prisha Samach Leveset before plus the Prisha Samach Leveset after equals 12 hours. Correct? According to Rabbi Yehuda.
In total.
So it's in the middle. That's the sum total of Prisha. It has nothing to do with when it is. It's always a Prisha during that day and during that night. No, there's other issues that are now we are machmer to do additional prisha. We'll talk about the halacha when it becomes clear. That was a challenging night, I gotta tell you. You know, maybe it's not so good to have Rav Yomi at night when people are full of energy and have a lot of other things to talk about, and, like this in the morning.
Well, I don't know. I have a story about the Rav Yomi.
Yomi has a story in college. I have a story about it that maybe help you with the jet lag.
I always find Richie that it was really DMS all along.
I had this horrific bout of insomnia in school, and it must have been tense. Anyway, someone gave me the DMS, the muscle relaxing pills. I was desperate. I took a couple, and I was not the best night I've ever had in my life. I was totally relaxed. No, this was a little bit. They have specific muscle relaxing.
Oh, do they?
When we lament the level of energy in the mornings, how we're just like, where is everybody? Come on, isn't this exciting?
But then,
in the evening, when we're all
too much for you
to get up and go,
too much for me.
Yeah.
4:35
o'clock in the afternoon.
Maybe it's called Isarina.
What's the shoe? I don't know.